Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Five-Star Business Finance Q2 FY24 Results Conference Call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that the conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Lakshmipathy Deenadayalan, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for transferring the call. I welcome all the participants to the fifth earnings call overall and the second earnings call for this financial year. As you all know, we connected you with the last September number results, September 2022. We are again connecting you back with September 2023. Almost five quarters and one full financial year has been the connections between you and us. It was a very exciting journey for us for the last 12 months. Always, Five-Star, we are proud to say we are a collection-first NBFC because we feel growth is a very lighter side, but collecting back is going to be the difference between any lender. So to start with the numbers, I'll start with the collection side. Collections, overall collections came out very well. We'll say this is an excellent quarter from a quality perspective. The collection efficiency, comparing with last quarter, moved from 99.6% to over 100%. And the unique customer, which we call collecting an EMI from every customer, which we measure by D1, C1, the terminology what internally we call, moved from 97.5% to 98%. So the 98% of the customers have paid EMI in each month in last quarter. That's a very encouraging sign. So the forward flow has been arrested to that extent. The next important metric in collections is 30+, where people ask us. I'm happy to say that 30+ has also dropped down from 9.68% last quarter to 8.59% this quarter. And another color of collections, what we say, the current to the arrears ratio of the customers. It was at 78% of the customers were in current, and 22% of the customers were in arrears in last September. And it moved to 85% of the customers in current and 15% of the customers in arrears in June. We have bettered that in September. We are close to 87%, precisely 86.5% of the customers are in current now, and with only 13.5% of the customers are in arrears. This, we will, as guided to the market, we will reach this to 90%. That is, 90% of the customers will be in current, and 10% alone will be in the arrears going forward, maybe next two quarters, maybe June of 2025. And taking you to the next important collection metric, which is a non-performing asset, 90+, we call. It also bettered from 1.08% in June quarter to 1.07% in September quarter. Coming to the IRAC Stage 3, as per the new circular, even there, we have bettered ourselves. We were at 1.41% in June quarter, which has come down to 1.37%. So all in all, the collections on all metrics and all buckets have shown a tremendous improvement that again proves that Five-Star is a collection-first business model. And now taking you to the business side, which is very important, first, from the branch, we have opened close to 70 branches in last quarter, which is one of the highest in the history of Five-Star. So the total branch count is at 456 branches as we stand today. Because of branches getting opened and business officers getting joined in the new branch, our loan disbursement is also seen all-time high. It was at 1,132 crores in June. It has gone up to 1,204 crores, registering a 6% increase and registering a 50% increase comparing to last year. And this has resulted in a good growth in AUM. We have moved from 7,583 crores in June to 8,264 crores in September, with a growth of 9% sequentially and 44% year-on-year. Both in quality and growth has resulted in good profits. Our incomes have gone up from 484 crores last quarter to 522 crores this quarter, registering a growth of 8% sequentially and 44% year-on-year. And the profit after tax has moved from 184 crores to close to 200 crores a quarter, which is 199 crores, registering a 9% growth and 38% growth year-on-year. Finally, before handing over to Srikant, the borrowing side has also shown a good amount of stability. Our cost of borrowing on the book in this quarter is at 9.7%, moved a tag lesser from 9.8%. And incremental borrowing is coming at 9.5% all in all. So from the collection side, business side, and the borrowing side, Five-Star is able to bring out their best performance again in the September quarter. And this will continue as we move forward. Now I'll hand it over to Srikant to go deeper into each subject. Then we'll take up the questions.
Thank you, sir, and a very good morning to all of you. As Mr. Pati has highlighted, you know, some of the numbers around collections, business, as well as the borrowings, I'll just touch some finer aspects and hand it over to all of you for any questions that you may have. In terms of the financial metrics, you know, we have grown our AUM at about 9% sequentially to 8,264 crores, coming on the back of, you know, very strong branch expansion. So 70 new branches have been added for the quarter, and on the back of, you know, borrower expansion. So again, this has not been a ticket size like the growth, but it's a diversified growth that we have managed to achieve. So our borrower base increased from about 3.2 lakhs in June to 3.4 lakhs as of September. In terms of the financial metrics, the yields have remained stable at around, you know, 24.2%. The cost of funds surprisingly continues to show a decreasing trend, which means, you know, Five-Star is looked at as a very attractive destination for lenders to lend monies to. So while we are borrowing incrementally at 9.5%, the book cost dropped from 9.8 to 9.7, so which is a spread of close to 14.5%. The leverage has moved up a little bit, but given our strong accruals, I think we will still see a gradual growth in the leverage in the quarters to come. So the NIMs are almost at about 17.7%, translating to a return on assets of about 8.5% and return on equity of a little over 17%. We have also, despite the branch expansion, we have managed to keep the costs intact. Our cost to income is still only at about 36% or so, and we have been guiding all of you that even in a steady state, this number will be anywhere around 35 to 37%. In terms of the borrowings, we have borrowed almost more than 2,000 crores in the first half of this year, with about 1,150 crores coming in the second quarter. The good part is we have managed to add two new banks, and sizable sanctions have come in. In fact, one of the transactions, while the execution spilled over to 3rd October because of some change in holidays, but including that cost, I think we are at about 9.5% incremental cost. And as we speak, you know, the incremental cost continues to stay around 9.5 to 9.6%. So we don't envisage any significant negative impact on the cost of funds in the quarters to come. Collection efficiencies have stacked up really well, like what Mr. Pati highlighted. Not just 1 plus, even our 30 plus has continued to show a decreasing trend. From about 9.68% last quarter, we have brought that down to about 8.59% for this quarter. So we will continue to, you know, keep demonstrating this number on the lower trajectory, which will ensure that, you know, the stress portfolio. For us, it's not a stress. A 30 plus is not a stress, but typically markets perceive 30 plus to be a stress portfolio. Even that number will start, you know, continue to keep going down. We continue to maintain a good provision coverage ratio on our overall book, on the stage 3 assets, as well as on our restructured portfolio. On the overall book, we are almost at similar levels of PCR. We were at 1.64% last quarter. It's just dropped by 1 basis point to 1.63%. On stage 3 assets, we have taken the PCR to about 50%. We were at about 44% last quarter. This is again coming purely out of the ECL model and the overlays that the company wants to carry on its books on a conservative basis. Restructured book continues to show a very encouraging trend. Most of the book is in the standard category. In fact, the overall restructured book has actually come down to 0.66% of our overall book. And even on this, we maintain close to 50% provision coverage. So we don't really envisage any risk emanating out of this restructured book in the quarters or the years to come. PAT registered a 8 to 9% growth from about 184 crores last quarter to 199 crores sequentially. And year on year, it went up from 144 crores to 199 crores. Net worth continues to remain robust. Capital adequacy is almost close to 60%. So I think all in all, it's been a very encouraging quarter in terms of asset quality, profitability and the growth. And given the branch network that we have built in, I think today we have a very solid platform to ensure that we build our growth on this strong edifice in a very safe and secure manner. So whatever guidance we have given you, I think continues to stand. We are hopeful of, you know, coming out with a strong set of results in the quarters to come as well. On that note, you know, I will hand over to any of you for questions. Happy to take the questions.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mahrukh Adajania from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hello, congratulations. My first question is on your collection efficiency. You've always delivered well on collections and you seem very confident that the customers in arrears will improve from here on as well. So what gives you the confidence? Because your collection infrastructure has always been strong. Is it that their business environment is improving or that your collection efforts have intensified further? That's my first question.
Yeah. Good morning, Mahrukh.
Good morning.
Yeah. The business model what Five Star has built for last 20 years plus or more than that is from the back of the assessing the collection collection first and assessing the customer on the cash flow and character, leaving the collateral aside. So what gives us the confidence is the profile of customers whom we are backing for last 2 decades, purely the shopkeepers and self-employed of our country, they are quite busy now. And their sales are coming back to the pre-COVID level and their margins are sticking very well. So this is from one side. Second side, as you know, we are a secured lender. We lend our entire loans are secured. We lend on the residential property where the customers and family members live in. This also gives the emotional attach and seriousness to the family members, even in during the downturn cash flow cycle. So these two things, the service sector whom we are backing, and we are backing them with one of the strong collaterals. And of course, the third one is important, the collection infrastructure, what we have put at the ground level. we are able to reach customers or customers are able to reach us in 30 minutes of time. So all three put together, our collections were always on the good side. There was some kind of pressure during COVID times because we didn't restructure a lot. So we are correcting those things and we are bouncing back better than all COVID, all pre-COVID collections metric, whatever Five-Star has seen. So the strength of the cash flow and the underwriting strength and the infrastructure collections we put up at the ground level, all three are giving us a good results quarter on quarter. That gives a strong belief that going forward, our collections will be better, better every quarter.
Got it, sir. So, and so as the business environment is improving, which is why you're confident of holding credit costs here, is it? Or because there has been strong growth post-COVID. So as the portfolio seasons, do we see inching up of credit cost or it's going to stay at these levels?
So I think the credit cost will stay in the same sub 1% level. Even during demo on COVID 1 and 2, we didn't see this getting spiked up. Just spiking it with a very short period of time in COVID and got settled in where our eventual credit cost has to be. So I don't think the credit cost will have any impact, even the growth picks in for Five-Star. Because the growth, what we are getting into, the guidance of 35% plus year on year, it's not going to be a big growth for Five-Star because we have already seen big growths pre-COVID. So we'll know how to underwrite the customer, keep the collections intact. So it doesn't have any impact on the credit costs going forward.
Got it, sir. So, and my last question is on attrition. So in your segment of business, what has the attrition rate increased over in the last 6 months or in the last 9 months, or is it manageable? Because attrition rate in the other BFSI space is on the higher side.
So, Mahrukh, attrition has not specifically increased. It is remaining at the same level. We are expecting that over the next 3 to 4 quarters, things will gradually come down. But I think we measure attrition very clearly at what level is the attrition happening, both, you know, from an experience perspective and from a, you know, the internal level perspective. For us, you know, the attrition largely is happening at the people who are less than 12 months old in Five-Star. So, you know, that's a manageable attrition, and also it's happening at mostly junior levels. If you have to measure attrition at branch managers and above, it's an extremely low number for us, and we continue to be one of the best in the industry as far as that is concerned. So it's on the manageable level.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subhranshu Mishra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead. Subhranshu, sir. Please go ahead.
So, actually, we'll probably move to the next question, which is from the line of Sameer Bisay from JM Financial.
The next question is from the line of Aditya Padi from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi sir, good morning and congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers. I just have one question regarding the portfolio yield on your slide 38. We can see there's a 20 bps drop in the Q2 FY24. Any reason for that?
See, you'll just have to look at this a little differently. We will always have about 20-25 basis points movement in the yields because the way that the entire accrual process happens is on an ideal basis. While whatever is the difference that is charged to the customer on an overdue account is because of the is through the penal interest methodology, which doesn't come into the yield. So whenever there is a reduction in overviews, or whenever there is a little bit of ideal numbers not coming through in terms of the repayment schedule, you will see a slight movement in the yield. So our submission is that, you know, don't give too much of importance to a 20-25 basis points movement in yield this way, that way. You will always see that happening, you know, depending on how the DPD numbers stack up, because we assume that the customer has actually made the payment while doing the accrual for the next month, and the overdue also gets added to the denominator. So both these aspects may pull down the yield 15-20 basis points this way, that way. Unless the yields are going to go, you know, above or below by more than 25-30 basis points is when the concern should be, which you have never seen in the past. So 15-20 basis points, it is more accounting methodology rather than anything, you know, impacting the underlying portfolio.
Okay, sir. Sure, sure. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Bise from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, Sameer.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a strong set of numbers. But this, I just wanted to ask on the competitive intensity in our core products, given that we've been doing so well, have you seen competitive intensity increase, and just some sense on the landscape going ahead?
Yeah, of course, competitive intensity will be there in the minds of many lenders. Whether that is going to actually take part at the ground level, we have to wait and see, because everyone wanted to get into the lending to the shopkeepers and lending to the self-employed of this country. That's the buzzword today. But my own view, it's my own view, is the competitive intensity is increasing sub 1 lakh level and above 10 lakh level. There is a reason for it. Sub 1 lakh level, generally it's the microfinance or unsecured loans where your underwriting takes very little, right? You can underwrite it quickly. Whether it is accurate or not, we have to wait and see. But your underwriting and your turnaround time is very quick. For a 10 lakhs loan and above, you spend that much of good time for underwriting that. It is worth spending for that. That's what market thinks. But between 1 lakh and 10 lakh, we see lesser people getting into it. Either they see it is operationally not viable, or the underwriting becomes more challenge. I think that's where Five-Star kicks in. We have been doing it for last 2 decades very well. Our sweet spot is between 3 lakh to 5 lakh. Here, the turnaround time for each file takes close to 5 to 7 days. So we spend almost 3 days at the ground level to underwrite their character, cash flow and collateral. You know it very well. But people find it very difficult to get into these kind of loans, to spend this much of time. But for us, it makes more sense because we have been doing it year on year. So keeping these things in mind, I'm seeing the competitiveness is increasing, but it is not as heavy in any other products that what we see, vehicles, golds, or home loans. Comparing to that, the competitive intensity is lesser here because a lot of work has to be done by any lender if he wants to be a long-term lender.
Okay. And what kind of players have you seen incrementally looking at this product? Are these SFBs or smaller NBFCs or any of the technology-led companies also are looking at this product?
Sameer, I'll say all. I don't want to miss anyone because everyone wanted to get in. Let me put an important point. See, everyone wanted to get into at their experience and their beliefs. For example, just to take fintech, I have already said in the conference call, fintechs they wanted to get into this shopkeepers lending, but I don't know how successful they are. Only the data you people have to share with us. But their product is little different and their place of operation is little different. They are operating in tier 1 and tier 2. Whereas we are operating at tier 3 to tier 7 towns, which is even at 25,000 population, 5-star branch will be there. But at that location, the technology penetration or the QR code penetration is not high. So their place of operations are tier 1 and tier 2, and our place of operation is a little different. And coming to the product also, they lend to unsecured short-term cash flow-based algorithm. Whereas we lend a bigger ticket size to set up a business or to repay a moneylender's borrowing for a longer term, 7 years. So I think you have to see, lending to a shopkeeper can be the same, but the product is different, the place of operation is different.
Fair enough. This is actually helpful. Secondly, in terms of the technology piece, are we like fully live on Salesforce across all branches now?
Yeah, I'll ask Ranga to explain that.
So, Sameer, we had given a gliding path wherein we wanted to move from the old ERP that we had into Salesforce. So, as of the first quarter end, we had gone live only with one state, which is Tamil Nadu.
Yeah.
As of Q2, we had gone live with Karnataka and all the central Indian states. And we had given a clear path that by end of Q3, we'll be fully live. So as we speak, in October, we have gone live with one of our biggest states, which is Andhra Pradesh. So that leaves us only with one state, which is yet to go live, which is Telangana. And incidentally, we are kicking off the training in Telangana today. So we are well, clearly on the path to a complete integration into Salesforce by end of Q3.
So Sameer, I just wanted to highlight one point here. Transforming from one ERP to another ERP is a big exercise. Five-Star started this exercise from Q1 of this financial year, and we are successfully doing it on a quarter-on-quarter basis. If you see, our disbursement or our growth didn't come under any effect at all.
Right.
So the credit has to be given to our teams for planning which state to go live and when. So I think we will completely move from a existing ERP to the new ERP without any disturbance in the growth and disbursements. So that is the key point. I don't see any growth disturbance happening because of the ERP transition.
Great. This is helpful, sir. One final question to Srikanth on securitization. How does he see the opportunity going ahead? Or you want to keep the share at current levels?
Sameer, so we are definitely looking at broad-basing our borrowings. In terms of various structures, in terms of the type of lenders from whom we borrow. Securitization is definitely an attractive source, given that it's a ring-fenced pool of receivables. There is a credit enhancement that we offer to the lender. So we are looking at securitization as one of the key avenues for our as a funding resource. But having said that, given that, at the time of giving these loans, these probably are a little more cherry-picked as compared to the other loans. We would not want to be, very high on securitization. So typically we'll try and maintain it about 25 to 35% of our overall, overall borrowings. In fact, we onboarded, one very strong name. That's the name that I said, which ideally should have gotten signed by 29 September, but because of the change in holidays, it got pushed to 3rd October. So Deutsche Bank has actually taken a 350 crore exposure through a investment in one of our PTCs. So, we will continue to keep evaluating that from, the right kind of lenders and for, good amount of quantum. Given that it's an on-book treatment today, we don't really distinguish too much between a term loan and a securitized receivable. So we'll continue to look at it, but we will ensure that, we don't probably cross, let's say, one-third of our portfolio, our borrowings in the form of securitization.
Okay, great. This is helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. First one is on the borrowings mix, and the share of NCD has kind of come down to 4%. Any specific reason? I mean, it's come down or it's kind of collapsed from like 35-40% in the past.
So Nischint, there's no specific reason as such. A lot of NCDs got onboarded, especially, during the COVID first wave and the COVID second wave, as part of the TLTRO and PCG schemes, all of which got redeemed in the recent past. And today, the markets are a little choppy. While definitely we are exploring raising NCDs from mutual funds, from, alternate investment funds, wealth people, the interest rates are not that conducive. If you compare the differential between a bank term loan and an NCD interest rate, the difference is almost like 50-75 basis points. So today, given that we are getting a good traction from banks through the term loans, and the fact that, you know, these are coming in at more attractive rates and for longer tenures, today markets are not willing to take exposures of more than, let us say, 2-2.5 years, while our product is a 7-year loan. So keeping in mind the cost considerations, ALM considerations, we have been a little more skewed towards term loans. But having said that, we are making all our efforts, you know, towards penetrating the NCD markets across various categories of institutions, and you will see that going up in the next few quarters.
Because, I mean, if I look at it, your cost of funding is 9.5. You know, if we are seeing 50-75 basis points, we are effectively saying that, you know, the NCD demand is coming closer to around 10-10.25, which is, you know, somewhere closer to probably what an A-rated company today may be borrowing. So, you know, I'm just wondering that, where the investors in these NCDs earlier mutual funds or were the banks, or, you know, is it something that probably a set of, you know, kind of lenders are today missing in our borrowing profile?
I would probably say, you know, mutual funds are one set of categories that we have been targeting, but, you know, they have been a little, you know, choppy to say. They're not extreme, like I said, you know, they're not willing to take a longer tenor bet on an NCD. If today we have to do an 18-24 month kind of an NCD, I think we will get that for, let's say, 975 or 25 basis points over than what we are coming through. So, but other than that, especially in the past, like I said, the TLTRO and PCC NCDs were subscribed to by the banks. So, you know, as a category, mutual funds have been a little more nascent in our portfolio. We probably had mutual fund borrowings only from one or two AMCs, but that is something that we are trying to address. But today there is also a good amount of demand for NCDs from AIFs, from wealth management firms. There are corporates who want to subscribe to the NCDs as part of their investment strategy. So I think we will definitely see tractions coming through. We are also, you know, making some headway with mutual funds, but like I said, you know, it's a little time-consuming process given, you know, given the lack of complete stability in the market. But sooner than later, I think we will have NCD traction building up substantially.
Sure. The second question is on growth. You know, the way you're tracking growth in the first half of the year, would you want to increase the guidance for the year?
Pati here. If you recollect, in the month of May and June, we came to the market and we revised our guidance from 30% to 35%. Having said that, our growth is becoming stronger quarter on quarter. We are able to give 9% sequentially, that will continue if next quarter also turns up well. We don't want to revise the guidance immediately. We'll wait and watch how this demand at the ground level. It is picking up. As we guided to the market, we'll open 70 to 80 branches. Already we have opened 100 branches in first 6 months, 83 branches, more precise. So that shows that the demand at the ground level is picking up very well. But I don't want to give too much of guidance changes this way and that way. So we will wait for next two quarters. Definitely, if the same trend continues, March quarter, I'll come out with a revised guidance if needed. But as I speak now, the 35% growth guidance which we changed now becomes more stronger and stronger in our mind. This will be there for a longer period.
So the question actually essentially was that, are you able to see anything in the ground because of which you would sort of have a slightly softer guidance for the year, or you said it's just
okay.
Just a
fundamental. Okay, okay. I understood that. I don't see anything affecting our guidance growth, because we have said 35% growth and we have been growing at 40% year on year comparatively. I don't see anything affecting at the ground level. The cash flows are good, the demands are good. As I said, we opened more branches seeing a good demand, mostly in the southern states and the new states which we wanted to get in. And month on month also our disbursements are going up. So I am not seeing any significant insights from the ground level that will affect the growth trajectory.
Thank you very much and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajit Kumar from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions and congrats for great set of numbers. So 2 to 3 questions from my side. First one is, if I look at your state-wise AUM numbers, growth in AP has been quite strong from past 5 to 6 quarters, higher than the overall AUM growth. Any specific reason for this, and do you expect this trend to continue? That is my first question.
Yes, Ajit, I'll take up the first question. I think the southern states are a big contribution for our disbursement and our AUM. Close to 96% of our growth comes from south. If you bifurcate south, Andhra is now becoming a leading contributor to the disbursement and AUM growth, because we see good demand there. The population is very good, and you see a lot of towns interconnected very closely, especially in the coastal part of Andhra, where most of our branches are being present. So we also see a very good collection traction in Andhra. Keeping all this in mind, we are investing a lot in Andhra, even from out of this 80 plus branches which we opened for the first 6 months. I think more than 50% of the branches would have gone to Andhra. So we see a good demand there. The collection culture is good there. And the team what we have gathered there is also giving us a very great result. All put together, we are Andhra is improving their AUM on a Q-on-Q basis. That doesn't mean Tamil Nadu, Telangana and Karnataka is lacking that. But comparatively, Andhra's growth is looks pretty good. And we are very happy with the way in which we have taken up Andhra.
Sure, thanks. Second question is, how should we look at the branch addition going forward? You had guided earlier, 60 to 70 branch addition every year. But this quarter itself, we have added, roughly 70 branches. So what will be the momentum going forward as well?
Yeah, momentum will be strong is what we hope, because one of the key metric which induces us to open branches is the demand at the ground level. How does you measure that? When a branch is getting break-even in 6 months, that means the branch is garnering close to 2.5 crores of AUM in first 6 months. So that gives a clear indication that the customers wanted to move from informal to formal side and come to Five Star for their business and housing needs. So this is the first and foremost indication what we have to see at the ground level. Till now, it's very encouraging. The branches what we have opened is breaking even at 6 to 9 months as we speak. So I'm thinking we will revise the guidance of branch opening now, moving from 70 to 80, what we said this year, we will be at close to, surprisingly, at close to 120 branches for this full financial year. If all things goes well, we will add another 40 branches in next 6 months.
Thank you. And lastly, 30 plus DPD has come down to 8.6%, which is great. So looking at the current situation on ground, how should this number trend, let's say, in the remaining half of the year?
So Ajit, there has been a clear focus in making sure that the collection efficiency is tracking up extremely well, especially the unique collection efficiency that we track. And we have given you the numbers. So the unique collection efficiency that Mr. Pathy also mentioned in his opening remarks, we have crossed 98%. So that's clearly arresting the forward flows to a very, very significant extent. So you will see this number getting improved even further. When we say that the current portfolio will go closer to 90%, obviously the 30 plus will drop even further to where we expect in the next 2 to 3 quarters.
Sure. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Prakash Toshniwal from LICMF. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, taking the question of Nishant on NCD side, is there a discussion with credit rating agencies to improve our rating? And if that, yes, then what are the KPIs we are looking to increase our ratings?
So Jay, I think we have gotten the rating upgrade from A+ to AA- over the last couple of quarters. Some of the rating agencies came up in the December or the March quarter, and one rating agency upgraded us in the last quarter. So I don't think there is any immediate rating upgrade on the anvil. The next rating upgrade will probably depend upon the kind of portfolio growth that we get to, and maybe a little bit comfort of the rating agency in terms of the seasoning of the portfolio. But having said all this, Jay, I think today the NCD market not coming in is not just because of company-specific factors. There are a lot of macroeconomic factors which are at play. Especially, you know, there are companies who are willing to offer significantly higher rates to onboard the NCDs. And especially companies, the gold loan NBFCs, microfinance companies, and even vehicles, they are willing to take monies at shorter tenures, which is more attractive given the volatile interest rate environment. People are not willing to commit for a longer period of time. They don't know, how the entire interest rate scenario is going to stack up, which is where we are probably not able to raise as much of NCDs as we would have liked. Because we want at least for a 3 or a 3+ year kind of a tenure, and the rates to stack up, closer to what we are borrowing either through the term loans or securitizations, but the numbers are a little wacky. And given that, our demand is being met by banks through term loans and securitization transactions, we have not aggressively gone out to issue NCDs for subscription. But having said that, there is a very clear, mandate to the Treasury internally that we will have to push the NCDs both in the form, both through the private placement and also, public issue of NCDs, which may come in, during the later part of this year or early part of next year. So I think you will start seeing traction coming in the next few quarters, and the NCD proportion also going up significantly. Hopefully the interest rate environment also will get a lot more benign. And then, with that stability, I think we should be attractively looked at even by the NCD players, be it the mutual funds, AIFs, or the wealth management firms, for them to invest monies into our papers.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Second question is, sir, on our AUM of state-wise. So if we look into the last two quarters, you have added Rajasthan. And if we see earlier from September 22 presentations, Maharashtra, Chhattisgarh, Uttar Pradesh, the growth is pretty slow out there in terms of they're not also adding branches. Hardly we added two branches in Rajasthan, probably 7. So anything specific you want to highlight, or it's just that you're building up the portfolio and being cautious on that, these three factors?
Yeah, Jay, this is Pati here. Jay, your point is very clear and you picked up very well. That is our style. If you have been hearing our conference call since last 5 times, we are very clear here to say we are not going to rush for the growth in the newer geographies. We don't want to do that. So the growth is going to come from the southern market where we have been lending and collecting for last 20 years. That gives us a great confidence whom we are lending, how we are lending, and how we are collecting the EMIs back. Having said that, if you see 3 years, 5 years down the line, we don't want to be in a southern market alone. We want to be a pan-India market. So we are starting to invest starting to lend in the newer market slowly but steadily. So whatever the growth guidance I have given, I have only given keeping the south market in mind. And I don't want to pressurize my rest of the country team to show the growth and lend into a wrong hands. So we want to be very slow and we want to be very steady. If you see quarter on quarter or year on year, the states what you said will have a steady growth. But please don't compare that with the southern market, because that's our growth engine, whereas the rest of the country will become a growth engine at the right time. So now I'll hand it over to Ranga to talk a little bit more on the rest of the country.
So Jay, Mr. Pati has rightly summarized it. As far as any new state is concerned, we've always been guiding that we will be extremely conservative in the first 24 months. So in the first 24 months, we'll hardly be opening maybe 4 to 6 branches only in a newer state. Because the 24 months observatory period is an extremely critical period for us, where we get to see a variety of things clearly on the ground. That includes our own people, that includes the first few loans that we have lent. We also told you in the past that, for the first probably a year or so, every loan that we give out in a new state is approved either by MD or myself. So, we are that much very, very clearly focused on what is the set of customers that we are building in a new state, who are the teams that, we are getting in the first, few branches. So these new states, we will pick it up slowly. If you look at Madhya Pradesh, which we opened about 5 years back, today Madhya Pradesh has more than 50 branches. So it's not going to, growth is not going to come in a sudden manner in newer states. The growth is more than adequately compensated in the southern markets. In the newer markets, this year we've identified Rajasthan, UP and Gujarat, apart from expansion in Maharashtra. So these are the new markets where you will clearly see us putting up branches and putting up and investing teams. But the growth will definitely take time to pick up in these newer states.
Okay, interesting. Thank you. So just last question side, while you mentioned that competitive intensity is there from everywhere, you are not concerned much about it. So what are the key areas or pointers you are right now focusing on in terms of concerning points or anything you want to highlight?
See, we are focusing on what we have been focusing for last 20 years. Nothing special that we are taking from a competitive intensity perspective. As I said, a competitive intensity should be there for a right product. So people are all willing to get into this segment, bigger NBFCs and smaller finance banks. But the experience says it's not so easy game to play. But the good part to play sub 1 lakh and more than 10, 15 lakhs area where people find it very comfortable. But nothing specific that we are worried about competitiveness, and we are not growing aggressively or we are not growing slowly or we are tweaking our lending rates. Nothing doing from our side. We are doing our business as we've been doing. But one point what I wanted to emphasize here, we don't want to be a southern lender anymore. So we want to be at Pan India. Maybe this is maybe the competitiveness is maybe one of the reasons where we wanted to get into newer locations also. So we are very keen. As Ranga said, today we are at 9 states. We'll be at 10, 11 states year or two. So that also keeps us more safer that we have reached to the more geographies and more people know 5-star.
Okay. Great, sir. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, most of my questions have been answered and good wishes to you all. Just as a follow-up, in terms of when you go into a new state, are you finding any major cultural differences when you compare to the southern states where you are comfortable in? So that's question number one. Question number two is, in terms of attrition, when you lose at the lower management level, which is what you said, where do they usually go? Do you have any idea whether they're going to another bank or an NBFC? That's question number two. And question number three, we buy into your optimism, but if you could tell us what worries you on the ground, that would be useful also. Thank you.
From a newer state, I'll ask Ranga to answer. On question number two, I can't answer anything with whom we are going towards. I think, see, this business model is very unique. I don't think no one does this kind of business model, underwriting, collection setup, which I have not seen any NBFCs, because we have not copied from anyone. Everything has been built here from the base of the experience. So we don't specifically take people from a specific name or specific entity. Anyone wishes to grow their career can join 5-star, because they can grow their careers, because the company is good, the growth rates are good, the incentives are good, the business model competitiveness is lower comparing to other products. So anyone can join 5-star and earn a good name and career in 5-star. Talking to the third point, which you said, nothing specific concerns me at this given point of time. It is good that people all talk about lending to small businesses. We are happy to register ourselves that we are a category creator. When no one saw this as an opportunity 20 years back, we saw this as an opportunity and we never diverted into any other product. We just sticked on with the same customers, same profiles for decades.
So we are very happy that more people are looking into it. So I don't feel any concern. I feel a bit proud that we are able to take this category from informal to slowly to the formal side.
So Vivek, on the first question where you were asking about you know, any cultural differences in newer states, there will be definitely cultural differences. I think in India, you know, taste changes every 50 kilometers. So you will not find that even restaurants are very similar in 50 kilometers. So which means when we are entering a new state, there will be cultural differences. See, there are fundamentally the set of customers that we target that does not differ. We still go behind essential services. We still go behind the self-employed category. But within that, you know, there will always be slight nuances in cash flows, in repayment track. I think more importantly, there will be a lot of cultural differences between people, which is our own people. So, you know, the every state has a unique culture, you know, in terms of loyalties, in terms of people sticking to a particular company, people building careers, attrition levels are very different. So that's, every state is different. I don't think, you know, we are saying one state is better than the other, but it's important for you to understand the nuances of that state to make sure that, you know, you are an attractive employee in that new state. Also, what differs significantly between state to state is land records are very different. The way you evaluate legal risks, the way you evaluate title deeds and, you know, go and get your mortgage registered is different. You know, it's not one country still. So there are multiple nuances, especially when it comes to dealing with ancestral properties and the way title deeds have been passed on through generations. It's a very different and nuanced market. So it takes time for you to learn, you know, these things, which is why in the first 24 months of entering a new state, we don't put pressure at all from a growth perspective for the newer state. It's more important for us to understand all the nuances, set the fundamentals right, and then, you know, set up the state for a growth for a longer period of time.
Vivek, sorry, I misunderstood your question. If your question is on the attrition, where does our people go? If that is your question, yes, today as this business model is getting more hotter and hotter, people finding right talent from here, they choose five-star employees to pick and build it. But it is not so easy for that to people just to poach our employees and start building the five-star model. But as you rightly said, this is not a model that can be built in overnight. It has to be built with the exercise. So I can't name where the people are moving in. Yes, there is a good amount of demand from our employee side, which is getting poached by other NBFCs and small finance banks.
Sir, thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Just wanted to know, of these new branches that we'll be adding, what would be the spread south versus non-south? And second was on the collections in cash, what would be the percentage of them?
So the what we have been guiding to the market is close to 75 is to 25. That is 75% of the branches will be in south, and 20-25% of the branches will be in rest of the country. So that's what we have been guiding. More or less, it's aligning with the same percentage what I said. From a cash collection versus non-cash, we are at close to 55% of our collections comes from cash and 45% comes from non-cash in all types of digital media, including digital type, including the NASH. It used to be around 65% more, that is slowly coming down to 55 now, and it may also further come down as we move forward. But we are not here to guide market that we will be at so-and-so percentage of cash, because we are very comfortable in cash. As long as customer is comfortable, we are comfortable. As long as customer feels digital is comfortable, we are comfortable. So there's nothing hard and fast from our side. As we speak, we have 55% of our collections coming in cash.
This one on the guidance with regard to the branches, right? So, not wrong. A year back, we were looking at a you know, more spreading out to the non-south region. Is there anything, you know, is there a change in strategy? Just wanted to understand that, because, I mean, the opportunity may be still big in south. Is that the reason?
Now, opportunity in, we have not changed this pattern what I guided earlier. It was 75-80% in percentage of branches in South and 25-20% of the branches will be in non-South, to be more specific. One or two branches can miss this way or that way, but broadly our thought process is very clear. We want to be a very strong player in North going forward. Going forward means going forward for next few years, not few quarters. But having said that, South is a very big market. Just to give a comparison, HDFC has close to 500 branches in Tamil Nadu. I just saw it in public domain. It's a public data. So we have only 120 branches here. If a bank has 500 branches, why can't we? So that's from one state. If you multiply that with four big states of South, which is Andhra, Telangana and Karnataka, you have a very huge opportunity in South itself. But as I said, from a competitive intensity to improve our presence where we are not there, we are very clearly focused to focus on non-South, which is the central and the northern, western part of our countries. So there is no change in the thought process. Still, we feel South is the dominant place to operate. And non-South is very key from Five-Star's perspective. So we are investing a lot in non-South too.
Yes, sir. So 2 years hence, do we see this mix changing? Because like you said, you wait for 2 years for the branches to mature. You open only three or four. You learn about the state and then you open more branches. So does this mix change 2 years hence in terms of 75-25?
Certainly it will change. All depends upon the results that what we are getting from the non-South branches. What we have put in Rajasthan, Uttar Pradesh and expanding in Gujarat and Maharashtra. So we will wait and see how the results are. But as I said, we will not push for the results. Let the results come as it comes. When the results are good, when the green shoots are able to, we are able to see there, definitely we will not shy away by revising the guidance of 75-25.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saptashri Chatterjee from Grow AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the great numbers. My question is more on the environment part that already I've touched upon it, but like we are seeing and commentaries from the consumption companies that rural and semi-urban consumption demand has been slow. But on that perspective, we are seeing that growth or you as well as some of these NBFCs has been very strong. So can you please touch upon how you are seeing more of the like demands and cash flows of your customers? And there, do you have to like pedal more towards distribution driven growth and customer acquisition driven growth for more customer acquisitions, or it is a strong demand any which way?
So Saptarishi, there are two ways to tackle this question. One is, what are you seeing primarily from a consumption perspective on rural and semi-urban? And our growth is purely not dependent only on that aspect. Our growth is also dependent on how much of conversions that we are able to do from people who are moving from unorganized to organized sector. So as far as that is concerned, we are clearly seeing a trend in markets after market, wherever we are able to open new branches. We are seeing very, very good traction and we are able to convert more and more people from, unorganized money lending to more organized lending. So that is what is giving us a solid growth on the ground. So the strategy has not changed for us. I think that is what is giving us the confidence from a growth guidance perspective also. Of course, it is going to be a combination of distribution-led growth. So that's where we have now increased the guidance in terms of number of branches that we are willing to open in a particular year. We have already opened 83 branches for this year, and Mr. Pathy has guided just now that we will be at least opening another 40-45 branches during this year itself. So it is going to be a combination of distribution-led strategy and the fact of people moving from unorganized to organized. That is giving us a combination of good growth guidance.
Understood. Very helpful. Just one part on this is that these increased revised of branches, are we going much deeper into the geographies like from Tier 3, Tier 4 to Tier 5, Tier 6 for the branches?
So we have two branch-led strategies. One is what do we do in the southern markets, and second is what do we do on the non-south markets. So as far as the southern markets are concerned, the clear strategy of the company is penetrate deeper and deeper. We have already, you know, going up to tier 7 cities, and we still have huge opportunity for us, you know, even within tier 6, tier 7 cities in each of the southern markets where we are already present. So as far as south is concerned, the strategy clearly is penetrate deeper and deeper, open more branches, you know, expand the franchise and attract customers more and more. But as far as the non-south, you know, locations are concerned, we are just putting up the first few branches probably in a particular state. So in these states, you know, we are still not going very, very deep. Most of our branches are still in probably tier 2 to tier 3 or tier 4 cities. We will penetrate these larger cities first, you know, get a hang of, you know, the culture and the state, and slowly penetrate in, you know, these states as we move forward from here.
Understood, sir. Very helpful. And last question is on the yields part. Like, wanted to know, you have already touched upon on the competition, but wanted to know what are the yield level that your competition is working on, and therefore the differential of your yield versus competition. And overall, let's say from 2-3 years down the line, do you see that growth and yields will be a challenge? And if the situations and demands worsen, which one will you prioritize more on, either on yields or on growth?
So, Satrishi, I think, you know, on the yields, if you look at from a competition perspective, we are probably lower, if not, we are at least at par, if not lower than our competitors. So, you know, it is not very differential, and the kind of demand that we are getting, if we are way off from the market, you know, this is not the demand that we will be getting. So, we are at par with the market. In fact, we are actually better than some of the bigger players also in terms of the yields. And like we have been guiding, see, our intent is not to keep the yields at where they are today. Our intent is to ensure that we maintain the spreads. Now, we had quite some benefit on the cost of funds coming through in the last about 4 to 6 quarters. But given the very volatile interest rate environment, we have not passed some of these benefits to our borrowers, which we will start gradually passing on, you know, once the interest rate environment becomes a lot more predictable. So the question is not compromising yield or compromising growth or whatever. I think the question is more towards ensuring that we are a responsible lender, lending at the right interest rates to our borrowers. See, the segment is not very price sensitive. So, you know, a percentage difference in yield for a 7-year loan will probably translate to about 70 to 80 rupees of EMI every month for a lakh of loan. So it's not a very price sensitive segment, but at the same time, we want to be a responsible lender and, you know, operate at around the 12 to 13% kind of a spread in a steady state scenario. So once the interest rate environment settles, I think we'll start seeing some benefits that we pass on to our borrowers. So, you know, in terms of not with a view to ensure that we get the growth that we want, but like I said, you know, being a responsible lender and ensuring that the borrowers get the optimal cost for their borrowings.
Great, sir. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers. Most of my questions are answered. I just have like one question, like on this gross stage 3 assets in terms of 1 year lag. I can see that like from first quarter of 2023, it's been inching up. Is there some cause of concern there in those terms? And I have one more question on other income. I'll come to that.
So I mean, the intent is not you know, concern. The point is also that when you are growing, the lag is slightly higher. And you know, compared to what you have been seeing in FY21 or FY22, the growth was also much lower. So the buildup was much lesser. But having said that, you know, if you look at the last quarter numbers also. Typically, the 1 year lag has always been at around the 1.75 to 2% level, and this is something that we have shown. You know, be it Q2 FY21, which was a COVID period, Q2 FY22, which was again a COVID period, and Q2 FY24. So, I think largely the numbers will be around the 2% levels, which is where, you know, this number has always been even in the past. In fact, it used to be more. If we extrapolated a few quarters earlier, when we were on a, you know, much faster growth space, this number would have been higher. But a 1 year lag will typically settle at around the 1.75 to 2% levels. This also has the new RBI norm built into, right? It's 1.35%. So you should also take that into consideration. When you look at a Q2 FY21 or a Q2 FY22, that does not have the RBI norm getting built. So technically, if you see 1.7% of Q2 FY22 is not an apple-to-apple comparison as against 1.95% of Q2 FY24. There is a the Q2 FY22 would have been a 90-plus number of about 1 to 1.1% vis-a-vis what we are looking at the new IRAC norm of 1.35% for Q2 FY24. So you'll also have to factor in for the 20-30 basis points increase.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. And I have just two more questions. So one is on other income. Like, other income doesn't look like it is connected to disbursements, even though the disbursements have grown quarter on quarter. Like, other income hasn't, especially the fee income, core fee income hasn't grown. That is one thing. And operating expenses, I have one question on that. Like, so we are investing heavily in the IT, like either for ERP or other technological like transformation stuff. Will that have an impact on, you know, OPEX to assets ratio or cost to income ratio, like in a significant way?
So firstly, Arvind, on the your observation is right on the other incomes. The other incomes are predominantly, you know, investment incomes that we earn on our FDs, that we earn on our mutual funds, on the excess liquidity that we carry. So it does not really have a straight correlation to the disbursals that we do. It depends on, you know, the kind of borrowings that we do and the yields that are available out there. So last year, the other incomes are actually lower because the yields were much lower in the market. The yields are definitely, you know, getting better, and which is why, you know, you're seeing the other incomes getting higher. See, in terms of the operating expenses, while we are definitely putting, you know, a lot more investment into the technology and all that, rather than looking at either an operational expenses in absolute quantum or whatever, I think the way that you'll also have to see is look at the cost to incomes. So which is where we guided our cost to incomes is expected to be, you know, around the 35 to 37% range. And this has sort of remained range bound for the last, you know, 4 to 6 quarters ever since we have been, you know, even prior to that it was range bound, but the last 5 quarters when we've been public, I think it has remained range bound around the 36 to 37% levels. We are very confident that despite the investments that we make into technology, we are not doing anything that that's probably a sunk cost or that will give us benefits over a longer period of time. We are reaping the benefits. So you will see the cost to incomes, you know, stabilize around those levels in the quarters to come as well. So no adverse impact expected on the P&L because of, you know, additional technology spends or the slightly increased operating expenses.
Sure. But my question just was on just on the core fee income, that 42 crores, I guess. But yeah.
Sorry, Arvind, is there something that is that's remaining unanswered for you?
Yes, sir. Like, I was asking specifically on the core fee income alone, like that 42 crores. I thought that was just related to disbursement. I understand the other income is, you know, a summation of the core fee income of, you know, based on disbursements and then like investments we make and other.
Today the core fee income is also part of the interest income. If you look at the interest income, it comprises of interest on loans, it comprises of interest on fixed deposits, it comprises of processing fee and the other legal and operational expenses where the proportion remains unamortized. So everything is getting clubbed under interest income, you know, in slide 47 that we have given. The other two numbers that you're talking about, which is net gain on fair value changes, is primarily on account of the mutual fund incomes that we do. And fee and other income will be, you know, primarily recovery of bad debts and the other incidental incomes that we get on account of certain storage costs and all that. The numbers are anyway, you know, fairly muted. It's about 7-8 crores per quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshavardhan Agarwal from Bandhan AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand, you mentioned that...
Harshavardhan, sir, can you speak loudly? Your voice is very low.
Sure. Hi, sir. I just wanted to understand, we mentioned that we opened around 40 new branches in the second half of the year, and the total new branches were around 20. As per, and our earlier guidance was around 70-80. So just wanted to, your thought process as to how our OPEX would look like in the second half. Because I believe when you open a branch, there are some marketing expenses, etc. that could inch up. So does that mean that our OpEx in the second half would be higher than the OpEx from the first half?
See, I think the good part is if you break that 120, 80 branches have been opened in first 6 months itself. So all the cost has been incurred in the cost as we have shown in the September itself. So it's only the balance 40-45 branches which will be opening in the next 6 months. But the good part is the 80 branches which got opened in the first 6 months starts to react more positively for the next 6 months. So that will adequately take care of the income side. I think I'll ask Srikanth to explain it a little more.
Yeah. See, on the operating expenses side, what we always say is, irrespective of the branches that we put in, our break-even is one of the strongest. In about 6 to 9 months, we are able to break even at a branch level, and even for covering for fixed costs at the head office level, this is like 9 to 12 months that we are able to do. So from that perspective, there is no adverse impact that we are expecting, either OpEx as a percentage of AUM, or like I updated in the earlier question, in terms of the cost to income. So the broad guidance around the OpEx to AUM of about 6%-6.5%, and the cost to income guidance of about 35%-37% continues to stand even in a growing scenario.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir.
We will take one more final question.
Okay, sir. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidhesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, a couple of questions. First is, how is the vintage, 12-month MOB stage three for us? And second is, how are the BT out rates we are monitoring, we are seeing in our portfolio?
So Nidhesh, I think the point is, in terms of the stage three one-year vintage, we will not see much at all. Like what we say is, what we track as quick mortality account, that is very, very far and few for us. So you will not see one-year vintage loans which are getting into stage three. Typically, the breakup of stage three will be more like 3+ years loans, because our belief is, if for whatever, little bit of shocks or delays that the customer could do, he may probably delay, 1 in 18 installments or so. So that means typically for him to get into stage three will be at the end of the third year or so. So you will not really see too much of one-year vintage in stage three. The quick mortality is extremely low. Sorry, what is the second question? I just missed it.
What are the balance transfer rates?
See, today, our balance transfers both in and out are extremely minimal. Like we said, our business model is built to displace the money lenders. So while we'll be taking a lot of loans away from the unorganized markets, those don't typically classify as balance transfers in. And similarly, our borrowers are happy with us as long as we provide them what they want in terms of the loan quantums, good service, and the flexibility in terms of repayment. They're happy to stay with us. So I think you will not see either of these numbers crossing about 2-3%, both BT in and BT out.
2-3%. Okay. Sure. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Lakshmipathy Deenadayalan, sir, for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you, participant. I know there is a few more questions lined up, but we have already crossed 1 hour, 45 minutes. And thank you for patiently being with us. We apologize for the pending questions. Definitely, we will take it up in the next earning call, or you can reach out to the IR team, where the number has been given in the website, where we will take up your questions. To conclude, as I said, we have been with you for last full year with 5 quarters of numbers, and what we say and what we deliver now matches very clearly. And we are very confident that this category, what we have built in last 20 years, here to stay and here to grow. And Five-Star has an edge comparing with other lenders. The experience what we got in last 20 years will help us to scale through with the right quality and right profitability without missing these two. So thank you again for reaching out in this conference call and waiting for a long time. And we will meet in the next earning call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.